Daughters and Sons, Preventing Child Trafficking in the Golden Triangle, brings a hopeful portrait of three children who have escaped a destiny of sex slavery and the educational program that saved them. I had a chance to speak with director Sarah Feinblum, as well as Jenna Arnold from the UN Education Department and also executive producer of Press Play Productions. They both talk about a major theme of the Artists Film Festival, children's rights. How did you get involved with that particular, the organization you got involved with and over in Thailand?
Actually, some people, Jane McBride and Patricia Zinkowski, who have founded this organization called Friends of Thai Daughters, they asked me, we knew some people in common, they asked me if I'd be interested in coming with them. They wanted to make a film about trafficking, they weren't quite sure what, and they asked me if I would help them make a film because they wanted to be able to bring this issue to a wide audience and raise money to help rescue kids so that they didn't end up lying on their backs in Bangkok and could have a chance to have a real life. And
it seems the kids in the film, I mean, they've had to grow up very fast. Just even if they haven't been involved in any trafficking, they've had to deal with just the knowledge of this going on. I think if we look at the U.S., there are people who are adults who don't even know this goes on. And they're not even pretending it isn't gone, they really don't know. What did you notice in talking with the kids and speaking with them? I saw some of them, they were still able to smile and joke around and things like that, even though they were aware of these issues and knew that they could potentially be involved in trafficking one day.
I mean, right. Kids are kids, and if you give them a chance to play and do fun things, they'll do that. I mean, I think that they know how lucky they are because their older sisters are in the sex industry, and so they know, you know, they know that could be them. How much do they talk openly about that? Probably not all the time, but if you ask them, they get it, you know, or their mothers have been in the sex industry and they understand what that means. So I don't know what the other part of your question was, also about Americans and how ignorant you think that they might be. And I would like to just remind us that, there are brothels in the United States and there are women who have been brought from all over the world and girls who are locked up in brothels in the United States and are being abused by, American customers.
Right.
So it's not just abroad, it's here. Mm-hmm. It's a problem that we really need to address. I think we got rid of slavery, we hope, in most parts of the world, but we really haven't. There's still a lot of human trafficking, and we need to address that as a citizenship, as a part of the world.
Yeah, I read actually a profile on a young woman who had come over from Asia into San Francisco, and she was sold into a parlor there. And it's interesting that an investigative reporter can catch this and find this and get a story, but as you know, just our law enforcement can't do that. And you know, it's interesting that we almost would expect, like, I'm sure people will watch this film and say, oh, I can't believe this is happening over there, but it's happening over here, as you said.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I'm Jenna Arnold. I am the executive producer for Press Play Productions. I also am the educational specialist in the educational outreach section at the United Nations.
Okay, great. All right, well, during the panel discussion, you were talking about education, besides poverty, education being a major...
The seed of hope.
Yeah, basically.
Yes. Well, in recent years, there has been a team, whenever there's been a natural disaster or a man-made disaster, there's a team of a health expert, a water expert, an infrastructure expert, and a security expert. And recently, talking in like the past year and a half, 2 years or so, they've sent in an education expert to examine the situation and see how they can take the younger generations and put them into school as soon as possible. They found that in refugee camps that families, mothers and fathers, don't feed themselves and feed their children's teachers instead. That teachers are the most protected people in refugee camps, in conflict areas, because education, which is surprising for a generation of people who aren't very educated, education is the only seed of hope that these people see for their children's future. It's not water, it's not security, it's not guns. It's what can I give my kid that is going to help him not live the way that I've lived or give him a life that I have inevitably given him. Education is the seed of hope. And any economist or any doctor, anyone is going to say, oh, well, I think it's health, or oh, well, I think it's the economy and ending poverty. They all are equally important. However, personally, I am biased as an educator that I see that the only way to bring a generation out of poverty is to educate them.
Wow. And so as far as education abroad, it's kind of difficult for a lot of just regular people to go. And like for me, for example, just to go over and say, okay, well, I'm going to go to Nepal and educate people.
Right.
So what do you think we can do here to promote education?
Abroad?
Sure.
Well, I actually somewhat disagree with you. I think if you got on a plane and you went to Nepal, you would have an audience of 5 children who want nothing more than to listen to you. And whether you're preaching about, you know, the kind of jeans to wear or the kind of decisions to make when it comes to taking drugs or not, they will listen. I think that it is easy for Americans to take the basic, and I'm talking reading, writing, arithmetic, tools over to other parts of the world, but there's also some consequences that come with it. You would inevitably bring your digital camera. You would probably also bring a cell phone. And all these kids would be circling around you, and all they'd want to do is play with your digital camera and your cell phone. And then when you left, they would feel this desire to have those gadgets. They would feel lesser than now because they don't have all those tools and all those resources. So I think Americans can get on a plane and go and educate people abroad, but you have to be really, really sensitive about it. I also think it's really important for Americans to not necessarily do it independently, but to go through an organization. So they're trained in the know-how and what to expect, and cultural sensitivity is really important. And even in all of my travels internationally, without fail, you end up offending somebody and you don't need to. Just by commenting on the color of bead that they have, you know, beads around their neck, you know, you just, it's hard. But I think Americans can partner themselves, align themselves with an organization, an NGO, and make a difference. I mean, you just Google, you know, if you're interested in AIDS, girls' education about AIDS, just Google it. There's got to be, and this is a rough guess, probably 15,000 organizations internationally, and most of them are mom and pop shops, 5, 6, 10 people, and that's what the UN is using to educate these people. They're starting to go through those grassroots organizations and not rely on the governments, and not rely on big international agencies. They're finding the mom-and-pop churches and the local schools that are taught by a handful of people to educate people. So, you know, I've always been, my heart lives overseas. I'm American born and bred. I love my American pizza and the bagels and the luxuries of being here. But I was initially always so passionate about teaching overseas. And then I started teaching in some of the inner city schools here, realized that I don't have to go to middle sub-Saharan Africa to face a devastated population. I can go to outside of Miami. I can go to Compton. I can go to parts of Brooklyn and find groups and clusters of students who are in as dire straits, not because they don't have food or water, but because they don't have the tools to live in the society that they live in.
What it seems to me, and a thing a lot of people struggle with, is they almost feel helpless and they can't do anything because all the problems are so big and there's so much. So do you think it's just about choosing a cause and going with that? I mean,
yes, there are a lot of because causes. You get overwhelmed.
Yeah, we're being inundated,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, All right, you've got girls' education. When you have girls' education about trafficking, or girls' education about prostitution, or girls' education about sexually transmitted diseases, or girls' education about childbearing. I mean, it's like, and then even you pick one of those, you've got girls' education about AIDS, and then there's another 25 different facets there. So I think that's probably where most Americans have troubles picking what issue they want, because they genuinely care about all of these things. They find problems with all of them, and they could fix all of them, they would. It's about identifying something that you really can be passionate about. But it's not to say you can't be passionate about the rainforest and about girls' education. You know, so you can pick. I'd say I probably have about 7 issues I'm passionate about. Some more so than others, but yeah. So pick an issue and do something about it. Just Google the issue. You will find 25 different.
And just learn about it yourself. Educate yourself.
Yeah, and you know what? It's easy, and the facts that you're going to learn are going to stick with you. You need to know 2 or 3 stats about the problem. You need to know, and then even in the, when you focus on a problem, then you have to pick a country. You know, I mean, there's so many different ways you can go about it, but just pick an issue.
Great.